I will lift up
mine eyes. The natural man would have us keep our eyes cast down on our sorrows, on our troubles, on our pains. I will lift up mine eyes, but the guilt of sin would have us look down like the publican in the temple who would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. But David said, I will lift up mine eyes. Not my works, mine eyes of faith. Not my merit, my hope in Christ. Not a catalog of my deeds, but just my eyes, looking unto Jesus. I will lift up mine eyes, look and live, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I will set my affection, my mind, on things above, where Christ reigns and intercedes for us. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, not these eastern Kentucky hills, and not the majestic mountains of the Appalachians, Smoky Mountains, nor the holy, so-called holy hills of Jerusalem, nor to those in power and prominence. But I will lift up mine eyes to the throne of God. That's what Jonah said, even in the belly of the fish. I will look again toward thy temple. And when he had what? He didn't know what direction even to look. He was in the darkness. The bars closed about him, seaweed around his head. He called it hell, the grave. But somehow, some way, I'm going to look, he said, to that temple where the blood is put on the mercy seat for sinners like me. I'm going to look unto the hill of the Lord. And that's what the throne of God is called. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Now verse 2. From whence cometh my help? My help. The scripture says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive grace and mercy to help. Help. I was reading a psalm the other day. See if I can remember where I was reading it. Psalm 12. Listen to this. You know how it starts? Psalm 12. Help, Lord. Help. Help. The godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail from among the children of men. This is our day. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. Look at verse 8. The wicked walk on every side. And the vilest of the sons of men are exalted. Help! I will lift up mine eyes to the throne of God, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh, and I've told you this so often, from the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's one person, Jehovah. the Lord Jesus Christ. God, my Savior, my help cometh from the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. Come thou fount of every blessing. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell. My help cometh from the Lord. And listen how he identifies him. He's the one who made heaven and earth. He made heaven and earth and all that dwell therein and the fullness thereof. So he's able to help me. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill of the Lord, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's able to supply all of my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. He is able to help not only because he made heaven and earth and has the power, but he is able to help because he was appointed of the Father to be our help. God the Father made him our surety. Mercy and grace flowed from his lips. He's able to help since he has all power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as God hath given him. He is able to help because he promised to help. And he's plenteous in mercy. Verse 3. And he, our Lord, will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Thy foot to be moved. Think about that a minute. If the foot slips and moves, the whole head, body, and everything falls. If the foot moves, if the foot slips off the rock, the whole person goes down. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? Who could stand? The paths of this life are dangerous. They're difficult. They're slippery. Who can walk and not fall? The lives of those who live before us are marked with many slips and stumbles and missteps. Wherein do we differ? But he promises, the Lord our help who made heaven and earth, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Moved from where? Moved from off Christ the rock. Moved away from this gospel Brother Walter just preached to us. The gospel Paul declared, the gospel of Christ who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, who was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures, he'll not suffer thy foot to be moved from Christ, from the gospel, from the house of God. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He'll not suffer thy foot to be moved from his fold, from his covenant, from his care, from his kingdom, from his book of life. I gave this illustration one time. I think it's a good one. When I was on a ship in the Navy, we'd come into a port, and we wouldn't go into close to the land. We'd anchor out away from the shore, drop the anchor, the rear anchor, huge, huge, heavy, powerful anchor, let it down on this chain, big as your arm or bigger, and it'd go down and set and it's set. Then you'd pull your ship forward, and that anchor would lock. As the anchor was drawn in, and the ship secured. And there it set for days. But the ship would drift around. It'd turn different ways. It'd be facing this way and facing that way and this way. But it never moved from that secure foundation. And that's the way, I believe what he's saying here, when we stand in Christ, with Christ, on Christ, this is a faith only God can give. This is a blessing only God can convey. Though we change and grow older and have different experiences and we're knocked this way and that way from various things, our feet, resting on Christ, never move. I shall not be moved, he said, of Christ. Never move. He that hath begun a good work in you shall finish it in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He put you in Christ, and when he comes for you, you'll be found in Christ, anchored. See, our anchor is not hanging on a rock at the bottom of the sea. Our anchor is within the bale. That's where it is. That's where we anchor. Where Christ, our forerunner, has already gone and is seated, and we're seated in him. And that's, he'll not suffer thy foot to be moved. Not do it. And then he says, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He's the keeper of the sheep. And he never naps. He never is taken away from his fold. His attention is never diverted. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He's the keeper of the sheep. He keeps them in his hand. He feeds them. He preserves them. He will bring them to God. He'll never close his eyes on them or toward them. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Now, he keeps us when we sleep. When we sleep. It says here in verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel, he never slumbers and never sleeps. Someone said a soldier may fall asleep on guard duty and cause great traumatic things to happen. A ship's crewman may fall asleep at the wheel and cause the ship to go on the rocks. A mother may, because of weariness, fall asleep and fail to give a sick child medicine. But our God never slumbers and never sleeps. He's never unaware of his own, but he's always with us. And he's always in command and control. I read a story Spurgeon told about the captain of a ship. They had sailing vessels in those days, back when Spurgeon preached in 1860 and 70 and 80. He called the man's name, I don't remember what it was, Captain something. And he said he was going to make a voyage, and he invited his wife and his two sons to go with him on this particular voyage in the sailing vessel of which he was the captain. Been a captain a long time. Sailed the seas many years. One boy was about 14, one about 16. And they set out to sea, and late that night a storm swept over the ship. It was being tossed about. And the mother came to the bunks where the boys were sleeping. She awakened the older boy and got him up. And then she woke up the young boy, and she said, "Wake up, son." And he said, "Why, mother?" She said, "Because there's a storm at sea and we must get up and be prepared for whatever may take place." He said, "Is my father up on deck?" Oh, yes, she said, your father's on deck. He said, then I'll go back to sleep because everything's all right. My father, that's what it says here. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy keeper, and he never slumbers nor sleeps. And verse 5, and the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Here are two words here, keeper and shade. The Lord is the keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The titles of our Lord, this is a title. He's a keeper, and he's the shade upon our right hand. The titles of our Lord are virtually promises. Every title, now think about this a minute. Every title he takes to himself, and here he takes two. He says, the Lord Jehovah God is thy keeper, and the Lord Jehovah is thy, Christ Jesus is thy shade upon thy right hand. Every title he takes is virtually a promise. Father. Oh, the promise is contained in that. The everlasting Father. Shepherd. All the promise is contained in that word shepherd. High priest. All of the promises contained in that. Substitute. Redeemer. And here, keeper. And when he prayed that prayer, Holy Father, I have kept those that you gave me, and none of them is lost. That's a promise. I have kept them. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never, never, never perish. He's our keeper. Our keeper. And then our shade. Well, in those eastern countries, I don't know a whole lot about the awful heat, the power of the sun in those countries, but the burning sun, one writer called it, a shade is of the greatest value out in that burning, burning sun and desert in those eastern countries. And that's what he's saying here. And throughout the word, it talks about Christ being the shadow of a rock in a weary land. He's our shade, covering, comforter at thy right hand. And then verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Two great lights rule the day and the night in the universe. Two great lights, the sun by day and the moon by night. And none but the Lord can shelter us from the power of those two great lights. I won't tell you all the things I read about the moon. But some of the reliable ministers of the 18th century, 19th century, talk about the power of the moon upon the mind, upon the body. You'd have to read some of these things that these... A person who was mentally deranged was called a lunatic. And one writer said that when men at sea would fall asleep under the moon, with their faces toward the moon at night, the captain would come wake them up. They had those feelings about two great lights. One rules the day. Rules, absolutely. It's a great, the sun and the moon that has a powerful force upon this earth. On the tides, on a whole lot of things now. I'm not going off somewhere, don't be alarmed, but the moon. It's mentioned here. He said, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And these tremendous forces that rule the day and rule the night do not rule you. He does. Turn to, just for a moment, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Verse 7, Psalm 139. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me and keep me. If I say, well, surely the darkness will cover me, even the night will be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, and the night shineth as a day. The darkness and the light are alike to thee. My keeper, my shade, my protector. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And then these last two verses. The word preserve is used in three times. He shall, verse 7, preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thee. This is not a promise to every son of Adam. This is a promise to his people. This is a promise to his sheep. This is a promise to those for whom he is the keeper and the shade and the Jehovah Savior. He'll preserve thee from all evil, which includes everything and excludes nothing. All evil. All evil, great and small. All evil, present and future. All evil in heaven, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, and all evil on this earth. He shall preserve you from all evil. All evil temporary and all evil eternal. He shall. And then it says, he shall preserve thy soul. Mr. Spurgeon says, soul keeping is the soul of keeping. For if my soul is kept, all that pertains to me is kept. Because I have no further use for this body. I'm going to have a new one. He shall preserve thy soul. Thy soul. And if he preserves my soul and it's kept, all that pertains to me is kept because I am my soul. And Christ is the keeper of the soul from the dominion of sin. Brother Walter said, pass from the condemnation of sin, now from the dominion and power of sin, and someday from the penalty and judgment of sin. My soul. He shall preserve my soul from Satan, our adversary, who goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He'll keep me. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He'll keep me from pride of the flesh. He'll keep me from pride of the spirit. He'll keep me from falling. He is able to keep us from falling. And he'll keep us in the love of God. He'll preserve our souls. What a psalm. And then the third, he'll preserve us from all evil. He'll preserve our soul. Now watch this. And the Lord Jehovah shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. What do you see there, Pastor? Well, we go out from childhood and come into adulthood, and he preserves us. the dangers, and he preserves us from childhood to adulthood. When we go out of our parents' home and come into our own family, he will preserve us and keep us. When we go out in the morning to labor on the job, and run the high cranes, go into the mines, face all the dangers, going out into an unfriendly, hostile world, what evils about us we don't even know, what dangers surround us. We go out, and then when the whistle blows, we come in home. And he's kept us. You men, how many years he's kept you? How many goings out on that train, speeding down the track, going out and coming in? He kept you, preserved you. When we go out of our strength into the weakness of old age, he preserves us. And someday, when we go out of this world and come into his presence, he preserves us. He'll preserve you from all evil. The Lord will. He's your keeper. He's your shade. He's your protector. He'll preserve your soul. That's all that matters, my soul. But he'll preserve your goings out and your coming in. Listen, from this time forward, forevermore. Forevermore. Our Father, how we bless your name for our Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd, our keeper, shade upon our right hand, our Lord and intercessor, our great high priest, who will preserve us, keep us from all evil, preserve our soul, day by day, and preserve our goings out and our coming in from this time forth, forevermore. Amen.